Welcome to another edition of the Devin Nunes Podcast, where we try to bring the San Joaquin Valley flavor to the state and national scene. We are back with Steve Brink, who on the last podcast talked about a lot of the challenges that we're having in our California forest and rangeland in terms of having fires, catastrophic fires, where you've seen massive smoke just in the region that I live in. All over California, you've had airport closures, school closures, high school football games have been canceled. It's like nothing that I've ever seen or experienced. And unfortunately, we've had a lot of the politicians who have continued to do things like blame global warming, blame the weather, blame anybody but themselves for the canary in the coal mine, which we've been mentioning from here in the San Joaquin Valley for years, that if you don't do something to stop these fires, you're going to burn the entire forest up. And as Steve mentioned on the last podcast, he talked about how we went from fires that would average 15,000 acres to now fires that are so large, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of acres that are uncontrollable with fuel that's forcing these fires to burn at a rapid pace. So now, Steve, welcome back, and I want to talk about the solutions. So if you could do one thing and do it quickly and do it right, what would that be?
So where we're at now in California is with these fires now that have burned communities, it's become painfully obvious that public safety is the number one issue. And so the thing we know from studies is that 88% of all fire starts are human caused, and 95% of those are near a road. So we believe if we just put all effort into fire breaks on both sides of open roads, we can dramatically reduce the number of starts. And with those fire breaks.
Now, when you say open roads, are you talking only about like your kind of county blacktop roads, or are you also talking about the roads that are back in the forest that were at one time were used for people to ride, to have Jeeps, motorcycles, off-road, that now some of those roads, as you know, are now closed and are off limits. What roads are you referring to?
Initially, it's the ones that are the higher use roads, including the paved roads, but the Forest Service has like 9,000 miles of those kinds of roads that serve recreation areas and so on and so forth, as well as provide access for timber harvest and thinning. And then they have another 30,000 miles of the roads you're talking about, of the low-use roads. Sometimes they've brushed in. Sometimes they've got big water bars in them. But the main thing we think is let's get started on the roads that are high-use, because that's where the fire starts are, and get the number of starts down and get a road system that has fire breaks on it. So when you do have a start, the suppression people can get in quickly and they should be able to catch it. And if one gets away, then they have a road system with fire breaks that is much safer for them to get in and out to attack that fire. And some of those will be evacuation routes as well.
Right. So these roads that you're talking about, I remember going on them when I was a kid up in the forest above the valley here. A lot of those roads are now overgrown. They've been washed out. They just haven't been kept up. I wonder, because a lot of people say, well, what's it going to cost to do the removal of these trees? Would it actually cost the taxpayer? Would the taxpayer have to go in and pay someone to go and remove those, or would the free market work? Would there be people that would be willing to go up there and take those trees out for the timber?
Yeah, the good news on the national forest is that the value of the commercial sized trees would be removed in this process of creating a fire break would pay for the whole project. Now, not so probably down on the county and local roads at the lower elevation, where you don't have the value in the vegetation, you got more brush. That's going to be costly for the state, county, and local road systems. With it also.
So the difference in that is fairly significant, because if you can picture this, I'm going to try to paint a picture for our audience, but I believe what you're talking about, Steve, is the areas where you have the huge fuel loads with the big giant trees that grow, the pines and the firs and others, you know, that's where you have the significant fuel load. At the lower elevations is what you're talking about, where you have more rangeland, brush, smaller trees. That's where there's really not an economic value to go in there, except for one thing that we'll get to in a second, and that would be using a lot of those lands to ensure that we have cattle on those lands. But I remember as a kid, you would see they would go along the roads, and they'd have tractors that would go out there with huge discs and plows, and they would go out there and they would turn that brush up so that you had a football field size break on each side of the road. That's what you're referring to, correct?
That's exactly right. And up on the forest, let me mention that it would not be about taking out the large trees. In fact, most of the large trees are the ones you'd want to keep and have a shaded fuel break. You take out mostly smaller trees and intermediate-sized trees to create an area so the fire can't then get up in the canopy. There's no ladder to get it up into the canopy, and you'd want the remaining trees 40 or 50 feet apart. And you're exactly right, the lower elevation with the brush and the oak and the annual grasses. There's other methods, including grazing and disking and so forth. But we have, obviously, a problem with the lower elevation as well.
But years ago, we used to do that. So somehow the taxpayer at some point, somebody was paying for that, or the local cattle rancher or whoever was paying for the disking of those roads. And then, of course, now what you're saying, and I want to make sure that I just repeat this again for our audience, to go into the forest where the large trees are, you're saying that it would not take one taxpayer dollar to go in and go to these old roads. Then what did you say? There's 9,000 miles of roads, I believe.
Yeah.
On the forests here in California.
Yep. Open roads that are open to passenger cars. That's where you'd start. And then after you get that, then
those are the 9,000 miles, right?
Yes.
Okay. No money to the taxpayer.
I don't think so. I think in general, there would be enough value in the commercial size trees greater than 10 inches in diameter that would pay for the whole project.
And do we have the capacity? Like how long would it take us to get through those 9,000 miles of roads?
Well, I think about 5 years. Each national forest could do 100 miles a year, and you'd take care of all 9,000 miles within 5 years.
And we have the capacity here to take that wood and turn it into lumber. We still have that capacity.
Yeah, because the existing capacity would shift and start taking those trees instead of others that they otherwise would.
Because you know what we're going to hear, what we already have heard from the Brown administration, now the Newsom administration, is that, oh, we're going to have to spend billions and billions of dollars. I was just here at Visalia Lumber Company, where they are talking about doing where Jerry Brown's and the Democrats and the legislature went in and put a 1% fee on all lumber that comes out of this the business here. That money was supposed to go to doing the maintenance of these forests. And so, you know, you're going to get a lot of naysayers out there, Steve, who say, oh, no, this is going to cost us billions of dollars. We're going to have to pass on huge taxes to the people of California. But what you're saying as a guy that's been in this business for several decades, that's not the case. We can actually go in there, utilize these 9,000 miles of roads, take the timber off of those roads, and we would dramatically deal with this, what is now really a crisis. We're really in a crisis, I believe.
Yeah, that's what we believe is the way to address this. And we've got to address the public safety, and this is by far the quickest way to do it.
And finally, the rangeland. So ensuring that cattle and other livestock have access to this land, what could be done on that end?
Well, in the federal forests, it's the range allotments. We just have to rekindle that whole industry to be able to utilize those lands. And it's all about, you know, that's a marketplace too. If you've got the supply of rangelands to offer, you will get people that own cattle that will want to graze on those lands. And that's died out over the last several decades as well. But it can be rebuilt.
That's one of the challenges, I think, for the lower level lands where you have more of the brush and the smaller oaks, has been that you just don't see the livestock on these lands like you used to in areas around Los Angeles or, you know, the big population centers. In a lot of cases, that's because you've had these land preserves that have went in where they want it to be all in a natural state. But in doing so, you kick the livestock off of that land in order to supposedly protect the species. But now you're seeing these huge wildfires that are burning out of control that are impacting major cities in this state. Isn't it just as easy to go in and let these animal livestock back into this land? And you know, even if the livestock to some degree may have some minor impact on the natural species that are there, I would think it's a lot better than burning up all the land and burning up the species.
Yeah, that's not my expertise, but you would certainly think that's common sense to do that. And I would offer too, you know, we have the luxury in California of having the income from cap and trade. And you've talked before about the smoke in the San Joaquin Air District. And, you know, if we can reduce these fires dramatically, that reduces the emissions. And so Governor Brown saw the handwriting on the wall. It should be spending $1 billion over 5 years of cap and trade for fuels reduction. Okay, so let's get with it.
Let's see him do it. Well, Steve, I want to thank you for being on again on our podcast. We may have to have you back on if these fires unfortunately continue. But we're going to continue in the House of Representatives, at least on the Republican side, to try to pass common sense legislation. We assume that that legislation will be opposed by Nancy Pelosi. But, you know, now the Democrats have super majorities in the state. You know, we're anxious to hear what their solutions to these problems are going to be, because for the last, through the Jerry Brown administration, we've heard that it's global warming's the problem. We've heard weather's the problem. And that's just simply not the case. And so one of the things we try to do here on our podcast is to educate the people of California and the nation to know what really is the truth, what lies the truth, what are the solutions to complex, what are sometimes made complex government problems, which really, as Steve Brink has said, these are not complex problems. They are not a cause to increase taxes anymore. We don't have to spend a lot of taxpayer dollars. There are solutions that are out there that are very, very simple, that are free market, that can actually create jobs in the state, reduce the amount of fires that we have, improve our air quality, and at the same time provide a quality timber here in the state of California that 30, 40 years ago we used to have. So with all that, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Devin Nunes Podcast.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams. Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. Days, 'cause we kept our American faith. Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith. As we the people
afraid.
That's why they call her the home of the brave.
With a prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.